Well, now we go on to chapter 46 of Jeremiah. The words of the Jehovah which came to Jeremiah the prophet against the Gentiles. Now, the Gentiles are the whole world. Here we begin this. This chapter 46 and 47 and 48, they're going to be very difficult chapters to go through. But I want to kind of lay some groundwork for this. First of all, there is the locale of where God is using as a picture of our day, namely the land of Israel. And the land of Israel actually encompassed a whole lot of territory. Remember, if we look back in Genesis chapter 15, we read in verse 18, in the same day Jehovah made a covenant with Abram, saying, unto thy seed have I given this land, from the river of Egypt. What's that? The Nile River that flows right through Egypt, from the river of Egypt unto the great river, the river Euphrates. Where does the river Euphrates flow through? Right through the heart of the city of Babylon. And so the language God is using about the expanse of the kingdom of God as it was represented by the nation of Israel in the land of Canaan was huge, huge, all the way from Egypt to Babylon. It included everything. In Deuteronomy chapter 11, we read there, let's start with verse 22 of Deuteronomy 11. For if ye shall diligently keep all these commandments, which I command you to do them, to love Jehovah your God, to walk in all his ways, and to cleave unto him, then will Jehovah drive out all these nations from before you, and ye shall possess greater nations and mightier than yourselves. Every place where on the soles of your feet shall tread shall be yours, from the wilderness and Lebanon, from the river Euphrates, even unto the uttermost sea shall your coasts be. That is, the uttermost sea was the Mediterranean Sea. Again, emphasizing the total enormous character of the kingdom of God as it was typified by land. Now, in that land that we're talking about here, there are many nations. For example, along the seacoast is where the Canaanites, the Philistines, lived. They occupied the five major cities that were along the seacoast of the land of Palestine. To the north were the nations of Tyre and Sidon. They were Gentile nations, and yet they were contiguous to Israel and really a part of the land that we've already been talking about. When we look to the south, we see Egypt, remember, from the river of Egypt. And then as we go north a little bit, we get to Edom, which was southeast of Judea. And then we get to Ammon, and we get to Moab, that were on the eastern side of the Jordan River, right opposite Jericho and Jerusalem. And then we, in other words, we find all kinds of nations that are actually occupying the land where Israel has been given. And yet they are not Israel in themselves. So that complicates this whole presentation, because God talks about giving a message to Moab, giving a message to Ammon, giving a message to the Philistines, giving a message to Egypt, and so on. On top of it, situation, the historical development of what was going on at this time involved what got was very complex. Well, let me illustrate. Remember that the great tribulation of our day, the period of 23 years, 8,400 days, was typified by the 70 years that Israel was in trouble with God, as they it began with the death of Josiah and ended with the destruction of Nebuchadnezzar, or his son actually, in the city of Babylon in the year 539 BC. But that history was not a simple history. It was a very complex history, because it begins with, first of all, Egypt beginning to conquer Israel. And then Egypt was conquered by Babylon, and Babylon took over. And involved in all of this, as part of the complexity of war, Ammon and Moses and Moab and some of these other nations at times got involved. So for a little while, Israel was under the immediate heel of Egypt. Then it was under the heel of the Babylonians, and it all becomes very, very complex. All of this, however, was pointing to our day, the end of the church age. Probably the passage that most stands out in our minds to show how this kind of ties together is when we look at 2 Chronicles chapter 20, 2 Chronicles chapter 20, where we see a picture of what finally is happening in our day. We see that Jehoshaphat was the king in that day. This was before, of course, before the 70-year period, but it was a picture of what was going to happen. And there came three nations against them. There was the nation of Ammon, Moab, and Edom. And incidentally, Edom was located again just east of Jerusalem and Jericho and so on. And Edom again is used in the Bible as a picture of the local congregations. But we read in how they came, and remember how Jehoshaphat was told, "Don't fight them; God will fight them." And they, all of the armies of Jehoshaphat, stood on the cliff, and they were singing songs of praise. And we read in verse 22, "And when they began to sing and to praise, Jehovah set ambushments against the children of Ammon, Moab, Mount Seir, which were come against Judah, and they were smitten. For the children of Ammon and Moab stood up against the inhabitants of Mount Seir," Mount Seir being Edom or Esau, "utterly to slay and destroy them. And when they had made an end of the inhabitants of Seir, everyone helped to destroy another. And when Judah came toward the watchtower in the wilderness, they looked unto the multitude, and behold, they were dead bodies fallen to the earth, and none escaped." So this helps to show that Moab and Ammon, and if we go in detail into Ezekiel 28, where it talks about Tyre and Sidon, we find that they integrate in, already are seeing how Egypt ties in. And so when we read this, go on in the Jeremiah, it's very complex. It's not just a simple lesson where we can separate it all out. It all integrates into each other. Therefore, there's one other complexity that enters into this whole study, and that is that Satan was given the authority over the churches beginning in 1988, which was the beginning of the Great Tribulation, Who else was he given authority over? Over all the nations. Remember Revelation 13? Revelation 13, verse 7, I believe it is, talking about Satan who came out of the sea, who was the death blow had been healed temporarily, and it was given unto him to make war with the saints and to overcome them. And authority was given him over all the kindreds and tongues and nations and nations. Therefore, going now back to Jeremiah 46, when God says, the word of Jehovah which came to Jeremiah the prophet against the word Gentile is the word nations, against the nations. Now God is going to be expanding his judgments or his prophetic judgments, not only against the nation of Israel, but against the whole world. Today, for example, about a third of the whole world is directly connected with some church somewhere, believing that they are still in the kingdom of God, but two-thirds of the world could care less about the Bible. They don't know anything about the Bible and are completely outside. But and everything is in the net now. It's not only the churches, but it's the whole world. He was given authority over everything. And in the process of trying to understand the language here, we can't always find out, now is this talking about the church, the local congregation, or is this being talking about the world? We absolutely can't tell. But ultimately, it doesn't make any difference because it all ends the same way. They're all under the judgment of God. So let's start. Against Egypt, against the army of Pharaoh Necho, king of Egypt, which was by the river Euphrates in Carchemish, which Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, smote in the fourth year of Jehoiakim, the son of Josiah, king of Judah. For the first two or three or four years, Israel was under the heel of Egypt. That was during the time when the great tribulation period had begun. Babylon took over and continued all the way till the end of the 70 years. Order ye the buckler and shield. Draw near to battle. The buckler and shield, I believe the buckler has to do with, remember when Goliath went out to fight David? Who was out there? Goliath all alone? No, he had a soldier in front of him with a big shield. He didn't carry a spear or anything, but he had a big shield to be a first defense against the enemy who might come. And of course, Goliath carried his own shield and sword. And so I think the buckler has to do with that that shield that also gave protection to the one who was fighting. And draw near to battle. Harness the horses. Get up, ye horsemen. Stand forth with your helmets. Furbish, that is, shine up the spears. And put on the brigandines. That's probably armor begun to wear. You remember that when David was going to fight with Goliath, that Saul, King Saul, gave him his armor and put it on David, and David said, I can't fight with this. He had in mind a sling, and he didn't need to have any armor. He was trusting in the Lord. But anyway, there it is. Wherefore have I seen them dismayed and turned away back, and their mighty ones are beaten down and are fled apace, and look not back, for fear was round about, saith the Lord. That phrase, fear was round about, or terror was round about, is used a half a dozen times, particularly in the book of Jeremiah. And every time it is pointing to the fact that of this time when God began his judgment on the local churches. Judgment begins with the house of God. It is that time when, first with Egypt, and then God releases, but ultimately both Pharaoh and Nebuchadnezzar were typifying Satan, who was given authority over the churches and over the whole world. And so there begins a world of terror, of great terror. Now, the world doesn't know yet terror that they are under, but nevertheless, it is there. And the true believers, they, of course, are aware of what is going on. I think we can kind of sum up the picture here when we look at Revelation chapter 20. We read there in verse 7 of Revelation 20, "And when the 1,000 years are expired," now we have learned from other lessons that the 1,000 years end with the beginning of this final 23-year period of a great tribulation, when God is testing those in the churches to drive out the true believers and leave only those who are tares. The wheat is being driven out and the tares remain. And as God is separating the true believers from the unbelievers, "And when the 1,000 years are expired, Satan shall be loosed out of his prison." And now he's employed to go out to deceive the nations which are in the far quarters of the earth, Gog and Magog, to gather them together to battle, the number of whom is as the sand of the sea. And they went up on the breadth of the earth and compassed the camp of the saints about and the beloved city, and fire came down from God out of heaven and devoured them. Now, here we have the whole great tribulation period spoken of in two sentences. And it is looking at it from a slightly different vantage point. From one, as we go through the Bible, it is a time when God has set up a great number of tests to determine who are the true believers or not, and separating the wheat from the tares. But it is also a time when the nations of the world are being prepared for their final battle. And when we read this, that Satan marshals the nations from the four quarters, Gog and Magog, to do battle with the camp of the saints, when is that battle going to be? And of course, that's been a great big puzzle. But we have learned that the great tribulation, and it's all difficult to follow, but nevertheless, it ties always together. That 23-year period, the world is being prepared for their final battle. Where is the final battle? Armageddon. Where is Armageddon? The day that the rapture occurs. That is when the fighting goes. That is when all of those that are opposed to Christ will be forever under destruction. The day of judgment has come upon them. And that is because they will witness the truth of the Word of God. That is the battle. We will be like 2 Chronicles 20. We will be like the armies of Jehoshaphat on the cliff singing praises to God. The true believers will be with Christ in heaven. And so God, in this language, "Order ye the buckler and the shield, draw near the battle," and all of this. He's saying, get ready, because there's going to be a battle that's going to come, and yet you cannot change anything. You are doomed because you're under the wrath of God.